Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Welcome back, and thanks much for making the show part of your afternoon. We're taking you up to 6:30, Caps pregame, and eventually puck drop. Playoff hockey tonight from Madison Square Garden. Caps win. It's a 1-1 series, and they're in the driver's seat. Coming back to the district for two. They lose. Got a big hole to dig out of. Series doesn't officially start till somebody loses at home, but it would be a tall order against a superior team down 0-2. It would be a must-win game three, obviously. More pressure early in the series than you'd like.
Yeah, do the math, right? You got to win 4 out of 6 games. You got to win 4 before they win 2. It would be a much easier series, a much more difficult road for the Rangers, quite frankly, if you're able to steal one here in Madison Square Garden. How you did it doesn't matter. They beat the brakes off of you in game number 1 by 3 goals. That's fine. A 1-goal advantage would make the Rangers think twice a little bit. I think that's the key.
The Commanders 2 days away from hopefully finding a generational QB. Don't forget to think about your next generation. The exclusive sponsors of our show, the law firm of Condori and Murad, will help you in that quest. They're going to help draft your will, set up a trust, create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys over at kmlawyers.com right now. Be sure to tell them we sent you a G&D, and you'll get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Real quick before we go to our 10 draft questions in 10 days. I don't know if you saw this story, but I've wanted to talk about this every day for like 4 straight shows. Did you see that the Colorado Rockies coach was in the cockpit of a flight, team charter, as they were traveling, just your normal Major League Baseball in-season travel?
Mm-hmm.
And a video came out, somebody recorded, of like the pilots doing wackies, and this guy is sitting in the... It's not a driver's seat. I guess it would be the pilot's chair.
Sure, yeah.
Like, the guy steering the plane at this moment. Now, luckily, we got some technology that's probably helping him. But he was just chilling there, flying an airplane at 30,000 feet, 600 miles per hour, helping get the Rockies to their next series they're going to lose.
And apparently there was some, you know, that's obviously a violation of some rules we have set up to govern that sort of thing. Yeah.
You're not supposed to just let people sit there and do that?
Not supposed to do that, so, according to what I know.
I originally saw this report from... this guy from 9 News out west. But he said, FAA confirms to 9 News it's launched an investigation of an unauthorized person in the flight deck during a United charter. This is a United Airlines flight.
Mm.
For the Colorado Rockies last week, video circulating online shows member of the coaching staff in the cockpit. We are deeply disturbed by what we see in that video, a spokesperson for the airline tells 9 News. Flight was at cruise altitude, autopilot was engaged. So it's not like he was landing the damn thing.
Right.
He wasn't like pulling.
Which button do I push?
I don't know my terms. It's on a wheel then. It wouldn't be a, what is that? It's on a steering wheel.
So I know a helicopter has the stick. I don't know if that's what they would call that.
But they pull it
I know what you mean.
Toward
toward
their chest, right? Pilots have been withheld from service while United does its own investigation. FAA only will confirm it's investigating an April 10th flight, but will not elaborate. So this was like right after opening day, I guess. The Rockies' first road trip of the season.
The yoke. The yoke is what it's called.
No chance.
Yep.
Is it really?
The yoke is the airplane steering wheel.
How do you spell that?
Y-O-K-E. Yoke. When Ryan lifts weights, he gets?
Yoke. He gets steering wheel?
Yeah, he gets steering wheel. He gets steering wheel.
I would not have had that in the office pool.
Nor I.
But there's not a lot to be said about that other than, oh my God.
Yeah, please don't do that.
Why are you doing that?
I don't know.
What are these pilots thinking, first of all?
How cool is it, man? It's the baseball team.
What is the coach thinking? It's not even that cool. It's the Rockies,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
It's not like good players on that plane. Come on, I'm kidding.
Hey, he's doing a bit, everybody.
Come on,
he's
everybody.
He's doing a wacky here. Come on.
Seriously.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
That's
here?
A no for me. I just need everyone, please, please, enough of whatever that is.
Answer me this question.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct in saying that a human has to take off and land? Like, when you get in the air, I think you could pre-program and touch buttons and then not go back in the cockpit for, like, a few hours as long as you're flying steady and be okay. But you can't touch buttons to then, you're sitting there, I'm on the runway, waiting to take off. And then I do the thing where I'm, like, driving at a fast pace and then I lift off. You can't do everything computerized, right? Like, humans have to do something.
Yeah, there has to be a person.
So they probably just had him sitting there at a time.
Yeah, that's the safest time.
Where they could just go back and get a drink and take a rest or nap or whatever they want to do, right? Presumably, there's two of you in there, so one of you can nap and the other one's on watch in case anything goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Better time than takeoff or landing.
Yep.
Let's just keep the humans at it.
Still a no. Still a no on that. I need the pilots to pilot. Let's have the Rockies just be the Rockies and sit your ass down. So easy to do. And if the captain
pilot's going to get an at bat tomorrow.
And if the captain turns off the little seatbelt light, by all means, move about the cabin. Go see one of the pitchers.
This is your hitting coach. didn't like the approach on your 0-2 count there. You got to choke up and put the ball in play. Speaking of approaches, I'll be putting this plane down in no time. We'll be in Texas to go lose 2 out of 3 to the Rangers.
No, thank you.
I saw that and I'm like, comfort. This video's fake.
The comfort.
Because this is where we are now. It's only going to get worse in the next couple years, I think. Every time I see a video that's amazing, good, bad, indifferent, whatever, just hard to fathom.
You're
I
like,
go,
AI.
Fake video.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw all the quotes and I'm like, fake story. But no, apparently this is the real deal Holyfield. This thing actually happened. Coach sitting in the pilot seat, flying the plane, hands on the yoke. Stop this. Stop this at once.
It's pretty simple for me.
Do you think those pilots ever fly again? Like, what is the right punishment for them?
Oh, it's a great question.
I mean, is there a larger offense?
Yeah.
I guess, like, I've seen Flight with Denzel, probably getting on the plane and flying when you're inebriated, which hopefully doesn't actually happen in real life. But is there a larger offense than just going, hey, open up the door. Anybody want to fly this thing?
Who wants to take a turn? It's like, no. Yeah,
this isn't a horse you can sit on at my daughter's birthday party.
That's a pretty big
violation.
Everyone
takes a spin. It's a damn airplane.
Yeah.
Flying over cities and places, humans.
That's a pretty big deal to take control of that thing. They go to a lot of schooling, and they should, by the way.
I'm getting anxiety thinking about it.
Yeah.
Like, pit of my stomach
so
right now.
Weirdest thing, coming back from Nash Vegas this past weekend, as we were, it's never happened. I've never sat in this row before. We were in row 2 of our old plane, but that old plane, like, broke down and they couldn't do it, so they changed planes on us. That's why we're delayed for like 8 hours. Anyway, our row 2 became row 1. There was a whole kerfuffle as to where everyone was sitting, and there was extra delay. But we were right there up front, listening to the stewardesses or flight attendants, whatever the right word I'm supposed to say is. I don't know. But like, everything was very casual for them because that's their gig, that's their job. And I was blown away by that. Right? Again, no one did anything wrong, but just like the way they're talking, like the way anybody would talk at work, where it's like, so I got scheduled for this, but didn't get paid overtime for that. Or, this number of hours, and that's before you get this status, and this was happening, but I didn't get this benefit. Everybody complains about their company. That's a normal thing. It was just interesting to see the flight attendants do that, and then they went about taking care of all the customers. There's still this locked door, the pilot thing is sacrosanct. You know what I mean? There's still this, once they go in there, do you need anything? Nope. I'll see you when we land. Slam that SOB shut. Get us there because our life's in your hands. That door's closed. Maybe that's what the pilots are talking about. I don't know. Maybe they're doing the same thing that the flight attendants are doing. But that door was closed. You see what I'm saying? And it stayed closed. There's no me going, I've always wanted to see what it looks like when we're up high. Can I take a gander? There's none of that.
I would imagine, and it's very different because it's a charter flight.
Mm-hmm.
Security is done differently.
Different.
It's only the Rockies, presumably, right? They probably, honestly, have the same crew. Certainly, I would think a lot of the same attendants, but maybe even pilots, for all I know. And they're familiar at this point. But I do wonder, pre-September 11th, would it have been a thing? Because I just had never flown before. I think my first flight ever was like a few months after that, if I had to guess. Thinking back to that time frame of my life, I would have been 10 or 11 years old. But could you have just gone up and met the pilot mid-flight? Like, I don't think so, right? I know it's way different now.
It's different now.
But I remember, like, in movies, mm-hmm. a little kid would the pilot would, like, call you up and give you wings. And he'd be like, you want to check out the cockpit, you know, Danny?
Mm-hmm.
And you go up and you're flying. And, you know, in a movie, maybe that's not real. I'm sure it was way more relaxed.
It was.
But, like, whatever that is nowadays, I don't care if it's just the Rockies. No, thank you.
Yeah, if Ryan McMahon wants to see, he can wait till they land.
But do you think there were times pre-9/11... '01, when a random person could go into the cockpit to, like, I don't know what the occasion would be, and no one would get in trouble?
It's extremely rare. Like, there had to be some sort of arrangement. Like, it was the little kid's first flight.
But even
so,
but that's my point.
So the steward is then
nowadays that in a buck will get you some crackers,
right? Where they would go, okay, like you got you know, Timmy's first flight, so they'd bring him up
and
if you wanted to.
Open the door, and the
yeah,
kid
so
would
you
go
could
in
see,
and look.
Yeah. Maybe sometimes.
I was thinking maybe like
it may never
happened
to me.
Flight.
Yeah.
Maybe they do that. Like you can look at it before you take off
mm-hmm.
or after you land, the guy comes up. Hey, come check this out, kid. And you're like, wow, this is awesome. But I'd like to think that the in-flight part of it is still, this is.
Yeah, everything was more casual. It certainly was.
Let's go to John, who's in Rockville. What's up, John? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
So my company essentially owns a private plane. And we have a pilot or two pilots, a pilot and a co-pilot, on staff.
And so it's the same two guys every time on the plane?
Same two guys every time. I am not allowed, even though I am a vice president of the company, essentially it's my plane. I've never been in the cockpit except when we're on the ground or not. When we were asked once if we could go in, the pilot explained that he could lose his entire license and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's crazy that these people allow, like these pilots took that risk. I mean, pilots get paid good money. And for what? A picture with the Rockies manager?
Well, and not to Joan, but it's not even the manager.
Not the great time to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not even the manager. Who was it? Was it the hitting coach? Let me look it up. Do you know off the top of
your
head?
No, I don't actually.
And not if it was the manager, I don't know that it would make a big difference, right? But it wasn't. It was just a dude who I didn't even hear. I've never heard of. I think it was their hitting coach, Hensley Mullins.
Former big leaguer.
Well, yeah.
You know, I'm sure. A pinch hitting Peter all the time.
I probably got his baseball card in my closet with, you know, the corners crinkled somewhere. But yeah, it was the hitting coach, who's a 56-year-old dude. He's just like chilling in the video. He's all happy, all excited. He's like,
I bet he's excited.
Look at me, Mom. I'm flying the plane. We need to really have a conversation about never doing this again.
Again, it's the comfort. That's the thing I'm just so amazed by for so many folks in all walks of life, not just walking into the cockpit, but just in general. I cannot believe how comfortable people are.
I just think that it's possible those guys never fly again. And I'm not team cancel people. Like, I'm a big second chance guy. I'll slap him on the wrist and suspend him, say you're not flying for a year, and we'll get you a new license in a year. You got to retake the test or whatever. But I just don't think there's a bigger thing you could do to screw up. It was a commercial air. This is not some random airline that I've never heard
of. Well, even if you, like, it's
but
not like
I fly.
Well, it's not like I'm flying private jets everywhere. In fact, I never have. But, you can't do that on a private jet either. You can just walk into the cockpit.
You've never flown on a PJ?
I have never flown on a PJ.
Do you even work out, bro? Really?
I don't think I have.
Wow. That's embarrassing for you.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I shouldn't have admitted that.
I don't even take commercial flights anymore,
really?
Personally.
Where do you fly out of?
Bald Guy Energy.
Bald Guy Energy.
Is that some Bald Guy Energy for you?
God, Grant sounds so bald.
JC is in Woodbridge on G&D. What's up, JC?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, I was just flew it in when you guys were talking about this conversation about the cockpit and everything, and it just sounded funny to me because you guys were doubting the ability to do auto takeoff or auto land. I'm an aircraft mechanic. It's definitely a possibility.
Okay, so like, could the hitting coach of the Rockies touch some buttons and take off and land the plane?
I mean, when you get up there, there's like 100 buttons, dude. You're not going to know what you're doing. But if a pilot, you know, puts it in configuration and it's already set to go, you're going to be fine.
Really?
But yeah, if when you're flying and you feel like a very soothing and calm landing, yeah, that was not the pilot. That was auto landing.
I had no idea you could auto land.
Oh my God.
I just want a human to do the landing for me. I don't call me old fashioned. You know, the AI can wait on that. Taking off, landing, we're looking for birds. Humans are controlling everything. Let's just get it right tonight. Let's do this thing. We can do it together. Brick is in Tyson's. Loved your work on the Channel 4 News team. What's up?
Back when I was a kid, I'm 55 years old. I mean, the pilot would walk down the aisle. You could go up to the bathroom. You could look right in. You know, if you talk to the stewardess and said something nice, they would let you like walk in there where they were flying. So you could go
into the cockpit. They'd open the door and you'd like while the plane was flying.
You would go up to the bathroom. The door would be open. You could see in there. I mean, this is what I
it's
was
a long time
little,
ago, right?
So
this is
like 50 years ago. So, but yeah. I mean, you know, people were smoking cigarettes all over the place. It was a different.
Yeah, the world was different. So I not to get too morbid about it, but I think there were a couple hijacking events around the globe that started to change the policies. Again, this is even pre-9/11.
Okay.
But it at one point, it was totally informal, where it was just sort of like, yeah, we're all in this together. We're all flying. We all want the same outcome, the plane to get to the destination. So there was this assumption that, yeah, no one's going to do anything, and nobody did. And then until someone did, and I think the rules got a little tighter.
Sneaky thing. We people that listen to the show for many years know this. I'm fascinated by flying and flight and all that stuff. Bucket list thing for me is to be that hitting coach.
Is okay. to sit
now,
in there?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Now I will never do it because I wouldn't trust it. Like I'd like to land and be safe and whatever else. I would just love, like, I want a video from the front to see what it looks like while you're flying.
What if so
I want to know? You know what I'm saying?
I smell what you're cooking.
Different sitting in the driver's seat of a car than like in the back seat. I want to know what it looks like when you're approaching and landing on a runway at National and at Dulles, or just flying over a city. Like, what would be really silly is to see like one of these flyovers where you go over top of a football stadium with 100,000 people. I don't know if there. I guess I should look this up to see if there's like cool videos of what the pilot saw. And maybe they're going too fast. They don't see anything. Like, to me, I don't know. I'm just so intrigued by that.
So it wouldn't move you if you're sitting. I got to, this is really cool. Years ago, I got to take a tour of Air Force One. That was one of the coolest things I've ever done. I didn't know how all the machinations worked. You had like a mobile office and a place for the president to sleep. And
is
and where
that
the,
room yet?
Go ahead.
My daughters.
Yeah. Where do they go?
Go to Sitwell, friend.
That's right, sir. They did. But that was so cool. And I got to sit in the chair. And like, hey, it's me taking a picture. Like, that wouldn't move you. You want the plane to be moving.
Doesn't do it for me.
Right.
By the way, I would be really interested in that. And I would sign up. Like, I would pay good money to do that probably. Like, hey, plane is parked. We're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. You get 15 minutes to just don't touch anything.
Right, don't touch a
button,
please.
Look around and take some pictures. Yeah, I would pay, you know, $150 to do that. Sure. But no, what I'm talking about is I want to see the ground, like, I'm a window seat guy, not an aisle seat guy.
Right.
I'm looking, I'm seeing all, everything is somehow a perfect square, just plots of land. It's, you know, crazy. I want to see, like, you're flying over a mountain peak. You're flying over the Rockies, not the team that did this stupid thing.
Right, you don't want to fly over
that. But the actual mountains. Mm-hmm. I want to see, like, oh, there's a mountain right there. I guess I need to go up a little higher.
Like, when you're in Nebraska, you're going to make the joke, you thought the Rocky Mountains were a lot rockier than this, that John Denver was full of.
I want to see what it looks like. Yeah. But those days are no more, unless you're the hitting coach of the Rockies.
Then you just get to walk up there.
What a crazy thing. All right, next, let's get into our 10 draft questions in 10 days. The countdown continues. 2 days away, we're Grant and Danny. Seven p.m. Thursday night, 1 hour before the start of the NFL draft. We will be live on these airwaves, providing for you a four-hour plus probably draft show all night long throughout first round. If Washington trades back up into the first round and takes a tackle, we will be there. We'll be breaking down their pick at number two overall and really pick-by-pick analysis as well. We'll have the live audio from the podium, commissioner announcing every single pick, and be able to discuss each player as they are taken. So make sure you plan on listening to us on Thursday evening throughout round one right here on Grant and Danny. We're going to be doing that show live from Dudley Sports Bar.
Yes.
Shirlington, great food. Going to be a ton of Commanders fans out there, so plan on coming out and hanging with us, watching the draft, and kicking it on Thursday night. Speaking of the first round, the countdown to the draft continues 2 days away with another burning question. Question today, Danny, outside of quarterback and tackle, everybody knows those are the two biggest needs. Need a quarterback, need a left tackle. What is the biggest need for the Commanders the rest of the draft process? Let's assume they get a QB and a left tackle. What is the third biggest need that they've got that they could address at pick 36 or pick 40?
One more pass-catching weapon. It could be a tight end. Now, I don't know if anybody's in that range. Doesn't look like anybody is, right? But a wide receiver is a very deep spot. They've left themselves some opportunity there. You could go into the season with what you got, but I think you can do better. And I think that's the essential part here. My philosophy is I will add defensive parts. I'm not saying you would totally ignore that side, but it's only when I am 100% certain that I have done everything I possibly can to ensure the success of my young quarterback. That's not something that's been the attitude around here really ever. I'm going to fix that. I'm going to change that paradigm. A tight end, I think, could really impact things. Zach Ertz is a nice story. John Bates is a blocker. I don't know if Cole Turner's ever going to be what we thought he was. Previous regime drafted him. I would love a pass-catching tight end or one more weapon at receiver to go opposite Terry McLaurin. You could kind of have two number ones or a couple 1As, which could impact the defense. To me, it's one more pass-catching weapon after quarterback and tackle.
I hope they get a wide receiver. I hope they get a tight end. I want both of those. But they've got McLaurin, Dotson. They still have Deami Brown, former third-round pick. They signed Aladamide Zaccheaus. Crowder flashed at times last year beyond just returning punts. Dax Milne, Mitchell Tinsley, Kaz Allen among the young projects that are still on the roster. They've got some depth there and some quality to go with the quantity in the case of McLaurin and Dotson. So I'm going to say that corner is actually a much bigger need than wide receiver. Here's what I don't know. What is Adam Peters, Lance Newmark? What is Dan Quinn, Joe Witt? Think of Emmanuel Forbes. Do they look at him and say, this guy could be a stud? We're going to coach him a lot better than the DB's coach did last year, who was a high school coach from California, who was on Jack Del Rio's staff for whatever reason. We're going to get more out of him because we're going to have a better collection of coaches pulling the potential out of him. Is that what they think when they see Emmanuel Forbes? I don't know. They also might look at him and go, not really a fit for what we do, or this is not a guy that I would ever draft, that I would sign. He's here, so we'll work with him. But I'm not sure that he's a star with what we're trying to accomplish. And if they feel that way, then it is a much bigger need even maybe than we're suggesting. Because at the moment, you've got Forbes on one edge, who got benched every time he played a couple games in a row last year. And Benjamin St. Juice probably on the other side, on the boundary. I would imagine in the nickel, you'll have Quan Martin, who plays some safety with nickel corner. But that's your big three. Martin, who couldn't get on the field at the beginning of last year. I thought he got a lot better as the year went on.
Mm-hmm.
Forbes, who did improve, but he went from you can't play him to you can now put him on the field and it's not going to be a liability anymore. And then St. Juice. That's the corner room. They added a couple of other guys. James Pierre from the Steelers. They brought in D'Angelo Mandel, and Christian Holmes is still here, the seventh rounder. They signed Noah Igbinoghene, who was a former top-round pick. It was a disappointment. But where is your proven corner talent? Do you feel good? I love BSJ, Benjamin mm-hmm. St. Juice. Do you feel good about him being your number one going up against CeeDee Lamb traveling?
No.
And that might be your best situation. Forbes against the number two, you know, Quan Martin in the slot. That's a mess. They need to throw talent at that position, in my opinion. So I think outside of corner and tackle, outside of quarter, mm-hmm. back and tackle, corner is next on the list.
So we disagreed about this yesterday, and I'm still pretty steadfast in my thinking. You're 100% right. To what end? If it's to be the best you could possibly be this year, with a rookie quarterback, with a, you know, a new system and a new everything, and let's see if we can be competitive in a couple of games, then yeah, then let's add another defensive end, add some corner talent, et cetera. I'm not saying they should ignore these positions. But to me, philosophically, I've done that dance where I throw problems at it or throw solutions at a defense that, whether needed or not, didn't really work out. To me, the most important thing is this quarterback. The second most important thing is the quarterback. So it's the third through 100th thing. Everything I do is going to be with him in mind. And if your argument is, well, a better defense will help the quarterback, I think that's tangential. To me, the thing that helps him is to not get killed, to have people that can bail him out when he's dropping back to pass on offense. Having a proficient offense in a league of offense fixes a lot of the woes and ills, and that's what I'm going to make sure that I do. So if they find a corner of value after they've addressed everything you need to do on the offense, I'm all for it. But to me, to get one of those premium guys, that's going to be an upgrade from Michael Davis or, you know, James Pierre or Tariq Castro Fields or Sip Holmes, GP. Don't sleep on Sip Holmes. I think you're probably going to have to spend a more premium pick than I'd want to do.
So I'm taking one early enough. He's going to play pretty quickly for me, probably. I also think there's value in this draft at corner in that 36-40 range. I think you get a guy who could start.
I agree with you, actually, yeah.
Now, here's the problem. I really wish they would have signed a tackle they could start on the left side.
Same here.
Because if they would have done that, you don't have to go tackle. They don't have a choice. Every other position, they did an awesome job at making sure that they don't have a huge need. So you don't need to draft an inside linebacker or a defensive end or a offensive guard, or, you know, whatever. You might want to, and the board might fall, so as the draft goes on, you do. But at left tackle, you gave yourself no option because you neglected it, that you absolutely must address it. So 36 or 40, or if they trade up into the first round, like I think they might, maybe both, 36 and 40, end up being used to get you your tackle. Whereas what would be great is had they have signed a left tackle, let's say Tyron Smith, who got the one-year deal from the Jets, then all of a sudden tackles like so many of these other needs where I'll grab one in the third round and develop him. And at 36, you could have gone corner, and at 40, you could have gone wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Or at 36, you could have gone wide out, and at 40, you could go tight end and get the weapons you want. But I think that's going to have to come later. The good news is there are great wide receivers in this class. It's an unbelievable wide receiver class. So as they pick on down the board, I think you're going to see them come up for air with a wide receiver at some point. But I'm not sure that they're going to have the luxury of doing it in the top 40, which is frustrating because I have so many man crushes. Mm-hmm. Leggett from South Carolina. I really like Pearsall from Florida, who's the best route runner in the country. Like, I've fallen in love with maybe, I don't know, 9 wideouts in that 36-40 range that I really would like to see them go get. My guess is 67 is the wide receiver.
Interesting.
And you get whoever falls. And then at 36 and 40, you've got to address needs, which is tackle and either corner or edge. Probably corner, though.
I've seen, again, once you get into that second and third round range, there's so much variance up ahead, right? Where we think of it as a guy falling. Nobody's fallen. This isn't a predetermined order. This is just based on the best prognostication information that we've got. But the guys that are, you know, picked to be a late first round pick, a guy like Kool-Aid McKinstry, for example, from Alabama, if he's in round number two, you know, does that,
which I think he will be,
does that change anyone's thinking? So for the sake of argument, whether he's a Washington pick or not, somebody might go, oh, we want that. We got to have it. Now that's one more, you know, tackle that might slip, or that's one more wide receiver that might get down. So Aladdin McConkey doesn't go in round one. He ends up going middle of round two, or, you know, the mathematics of it, the permutations always start to change as picks ahead of you happen. And because they've got extra assets, the two third rounders, although one's really a fourth round pick, it's a comp at the back end via the Chase Young deal, and then the two second rounders, there is some flexibility there to be able to do it. It's about that gamble. If you think, for the sake of argument, that, Kamari Lassiter from Georgia is good enough for you, and he's there at 60, and he's almost as good as someone that you would take at 40, and you've got another player that you love at 40, you don't have to do anything now. Does that make sense? Because they're offseason.
I think the corners that definitely go in round one are Terrion Arnold from Alabama, Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, Nate Wiggins from Clemson. Those will be the three guys that go round one. There's a fourth that I think probably will. I'm not as confident. And that's Cooper DeJean, who is the cornerback from Iowa, who's a white guy, by the way, just so we're all on the same page. There has not been a white cornerback in the National Football League since Jason Sehorn.
The Sehorn Award.
So I don't know if we're comfortable talking about this or not, but that guy...
This is information.
I'm just telling you. Jason Sehorn is the last guy to play corner in the National Football League. Pre-Cooper DeGene, who just sent out a letter to all the teams and was like, hey, I can play corner, I swear. But he can also play safety. He can play the nickel. I think he's going to go in the first round.
He ran like a 4-4 something.
He's by the way, legit punt returner, too. Well,
his high school basketball highlights are Mack McClung 2.0.
Really?
For the record, yeah.
I haven't seen those. But I think he could go late first round. Maybe he might go early second.
He's super versatile, too. Like, he's one of those guys that can be slot corner, safety, et cetera. Modern-day defender.
Second round, though, is where you go McKinstry. That's Mike Sanristil from Michigan. And it's Rake Straw Jr. from Missouri. TJ Tampa, Iowa State. That bucket is where I think Washington gets one of those guys. I hope. You know, it's somewhere in the 5th to 8th, 9th best corner in the country. I think that's probably where they're swimming in those waters. But that doesn't mean you can definitely get that guy at 67. So that's why I think if they don't trade up, I'm going to say they go tackle corner 36 and 40. And by the way, it is a real shame that they have to take corner again after they took two corners with their first two picks last year.
That's another part of it. That's not this regime's fault. That's going to be tough for me to stomach. That's a Danny issue, not a them issue.
I get it.
Yeah.
That's annoying. 800-636-1067. What is their biggest need outside of quarterback and left tackle? Your thoughts next. Benjamin Solak of The Ringer joins the show in 12 minutes. Get the latest on some of the rumors at the top of the draft board. We can mock our way through the top 10 with him on Grant and Danny. What is Washington's biggest need outside of quarterback and left tackle? Presumably, the two areas they'll target with their first two picks. Perhaps both of them in the first round if they trade up. Let's go to PJ and Reston. PJ, what's their next biggest need?
Hey, guys. So I'm kind of tied between another cornerback and a pass catcher, whether it's, kind of a mix of what you and Danny were both saying, right? Danny was kind of saying whether it's a tight end or receiver or a cornerback. Now, it's a testament to how bad of a draft Rivera had last year. It's shocking that the fact that we took with our first two picks, we took cornerbacks, Jatavius and Emmanuel. These guys may still end up being good players, right? But it's such an unknown. So it just shows you how bad. Like, can you imagine if Rivera last year simply picked Gonzalez, the kid that went to New England? All of a sudden now we got two big corners. We got St. Juice and Gonzalez. And now we definitely can just focus on the wide receiver. Now, because of how bad of a draft Rivera did, it's kind of put this in a position of multiple needs. So even though it's going to sound crazy, we took two corners with our first two picks last year. I think we need to take with that third pick overall that we have. I think we need to take a cornerback, but also we've got a couple of rounds, I think three rounds, third rounders. Hopefully somebody like a Ladd McConkey or some club like that could fall to us in round three, or maybe Jatavion Sanders, that tight end, if he's still available.
I love him from Texas.
If he was in the third round, cartwheels and spin kicks and tripods, dude. I would lose my mind.
Here's the numbers, right? So they 236 and 40, I think everybody knows top of their head. Third round picks are 67, 78, 100. 100 is a comp pick, so that's barely the third round. It's like after the third round, before the fourth round. And remember, they do not have a fourth round pick because of the Sam Howell pick swap, I think.
Right.
So it's 67, 78, 100 in the third round. I would trade back, especially, this is going to sound super confusing, especially if they already traded up.
Is that clear?
Let me explain.
Don't you get it?
I think if they go up with 36 and 67 or 36 and 78 or whatever, and they go get someone at 28, 30, 32, whatever it is, I would move back with 40 and try to get like 50 and 79. Or, you know what I'm saying? Whatever it is. That way I have the same number of picks as I went in with in the top 100 if I could. So let's say they go Jaden Daniels 2. And then they package, I'm just making this up on the fly, but 36 and 67 to go up to like 31 or something and get a tackle at the end of the first round. Then I'm going to move back from 40 to 45 and pick something else up between, 80 and 110. And that way you could still get a tight end, you could still get a receiver, you could still get a corner, you can kind of fill out some of those needs. Let's go to Chris in Oxon Hill on the Fan. Outside of getting a left tackle and a quarterback, what's the biggest need?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Appreciate y'all taking my call. Always great talking to you all. So, in my opinion, I feel like it's two things. One is cornerback, and then two is wide receiver. Reason being is because, don't get me wrong, I feel like Jahan Dotson and Terry McLaurin are very great wide receivers. But, you know, I think because of Samuels being gone, you know, I think we need to fill that void. And then also because Kendall Fuller being gone, you know, we need a real true number one that can start right away. And then, you know, I always got to take it back to wrestling. I did want to let you all know that coming this Friday starting is going to be the draft again. And so, you know, I know that y'all are big fans of Street Profits.
The Street Profits,
hopefully
yeah.
Hopefully they stay on the same brand that they're on, but we'll see what happens. I always appreciate y'all taking my call. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate you.
You too, buddy.
I was a little worried we wouldn't get the wrestling
reference.
I was
like, he's running out of time, and then he got it.
He made it work.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's the Street Profits!
Best ever, man.
The Street Profits, who I have not heard from or seen since. I watched some WrestleMania, no sign of the Street Profits.
They had a match at WrestleMania.
Not while your boy was watching.
Yeah, yeah.
I was late in the game.
Yeah, it was one of the first two matches on the second night.
Weird
so that's why.
That they weren't main eventing. They got them out of the way right at the beginning of the night.
Pick them out of a line.
Oh, it's the Street Profits!
Finish the story, Cody. Just screaming at Cody Rhodes. Michael Cole, the best. Benjamin Solak joins us next. We also got a preview of Game 2 Caps, Rangers, and the Nats tonight on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.